Mom, he did good. He did really, really good. You're proud of him, aren't you? And you know, he's smooth. Did you notice how smooth he is? He's got it all down. He loves that song, doesn't he? That's his favorite. You can tell. It is such a joy to watch. I was sitting there thinking, when I was a young man growing up, I'd never heard of any. I don't know if they had Vacation Bible School, but I sure never heard of it. Did they have it back then? Okay. Well, maybe I wasn't the personality they wanted there. Yeah, because my whole life, you know, when my dad told me when I was 12 that you can't go to church, when I asked him what are churches, and he said you can't go unless you're asked by a member. They do good things, but you cannot go. And I, none of them ever asked, you know, and I always felt I'm not just on a little bit on the edge. So we're going to continue. This is a very short study. I wish we could have done more with this. We did a little tiny bit, like I said last week, of Adam. And there's just two kingdoms in the world. We don't even like to discuss them in America. We don't understand kingdoms, period. But there's only two. There's Adam's kingdom and what he leads in his people. And then there was Christ. There is no religion on the planet that can save a man or a woman. None. There's nothing you can do to improve yourself. There is not something that God has said, now I want to give you a self-improvement program, and if you can improve yourself, then all will go well. No, there's a kingdom that lives in sin and death, and death is sovereign. And then there's a kingdom of Christ that gives life to those who are in the kingdom. In fact, when I was thinking this morning, when Christ spoke more about the kingdom than any single thing at all. In fact, when you look into the book of Acts and you find out why did Christ stay for 40 days? I mean, he's resurrected. He's proven he's alive. Hundreds have seen him, and yet he stays till Pentecost. He stays for 40 days, and what does it say? After many convincing proof that he was alive, he stayed and preached to them the kingdom of God. And yet for us in America, it's like some kind of gassy experience. It's like words. They're just words. We believe all the right words, but the words have no impact upon our character. When we feel condemnation, we're in condemnation. When we feel anger and critical spirit, we're anger and critical spirit. When we feel like lusting, we lust. When we feel like telling somebody off, we just tell them off. In the love of Jesus, of course. We're going to look at this again, and it's just a short little study, but this is the kingdom of Christ. And for as in Adam, all die. And that is obvious. We are in Adam. We were born in Adam and all die. So in Christ, if you are in Christ, and that's why Paul says to the Corinthians, I mean, telling a church at the end of, in 2 Corinthians 13, examine yourselves, test yourself. Do you not recognize this about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you unless indeed you fail the test? A spooky word if you think about it, because many will stand on that day. When we look into the future, it's almost like we don't believe the future. We don't really believe that Christ is coming again. There will be a day of reckoning. Wrath will come upon sin. And I don't have any idea what that's going to look like. But it's going to be really bad. It's going to be a wrath on sin, and God doesn't want you in it. That's why Christ came. God so loved the world that he sent his Son, his one and only Son, into the world. And he did not send his Son into the world to bring condemnation, but to give life and to give freedom. There isn't a moment that the Son gives you condemnation. He can catch you right in your sin, and he will not condemn you. In fact, Romans 2:4 says, it is the kindness of God that leads a man or a woman to repentance. For as in Adam all die, also in Christ all will be made alive. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being, and the last Adam, a life-giving spirit. So, two kingdoms, all at the same time. They're here, right now. They're here. And you are in one of them. No matter what it is, you're in one of them. You'll know by the end of this which kingdom you're in. You'll know because there's a kingdom that is absolute condemnation, and there's a kingdom of absolute joy. One is reigning in joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Rejoice in the Lord. Be joyful always. Give thanks in everything. Come before the Lord with a joyful song. And one is reigning in nothing but condemnation. You are the ultimate dirt bag. You're the dirt bag. You know you're a dirt bag. That's what you think all the time. And as the King James Version said in Proverbs 23, as a man thinks in his own, in his heart, so is he. So are you men and women of God, or are you men and women of Adam? There's the only two things that we've got to look at. One is sin reigning in death. That's the sovereign. The other is grace reigning in righteousness. So we're going to read our text, and it's Romans 5, 12 through 17. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man. So sin entered the world. It wasn't here. God's created, and it was good, it was good, it was good, it was good. Let us make man in our image, and it was good. And he made him and formed him out of the dust of the ground, and he humbled himself and came down and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. But what happened? Therefore, just as sin entered the world, it came to conquer, and it sure did conquer, through one man. A man made into the image of God, by the way. A man made in the image of God was conquered by sin. The second Adam in the image of God was not conquered. That's why you see the temptation in Matthew 4. He was not conquered. If you be the Son of God, if you be the Son of God, and if you be the Son of God, it is written. It is written, and it is written. See, there's something here. Well, all Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for us. And that's what we're supposed to be entering into. So think of these words. Sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin. And in this way, death came to all men because all sinned. We were born in sin. We just naturally do it. We become quite good at it. And it's just an amazing thing that we haven't all killed each other. It's an amazing journey that we've not killed each other. You look at history as nothing but wars and fighting, trying to conquer another group of people. You look at divorces. It's just conquering. I don't like you. I never loved you anyway. Well, then why did we get married? I mean, we've heard this over and over. 42 years in the ministry, I've heard everything that you can hear. The only thing that changes is the names of the people. And you look, and it's, oh, and by the way, this is in Jesus' name. These are Jesus people. They love Jesus. They just hate each other. So listen to these things. There's only two kingdoms. You have to know who you are and where you are. You've got to know this. One reigns in death. And I mean the death of your relationships, the death of everything around you. There is discontent in your soul. You are gripey. You complain. You criticize. You're filled with lust and envy and anger and irritation. There's another filled with joy. And it's called righteousness. It's called peace. It's called joy. And I'm telling you, I bear witness before God, it's real, and you live in it. And it lives in you. And many of those in America do not seem to live in that kingdom very long. If they're in there, it's like a space cadet thing. They dip in and dip out or something. I don't know how they do that. But I'm going to tell you, there's something more to be had in the beauty of Jesus the Christ. For before the law was given, sin was in the world, but sin was not taken into account when there was no law. In other words, in the days of Noah and all the time up to Moses, sin was still reigning. Why? Death came to everybody. But they didn't know they were breaking any rules. Sin just went and did whatever it wanted to do. The orgies were there. The violence was there. Men were killing men with great joy. And you see, like in the last days, it'll be like the days of Noah. In other words, no moral code. Do whatever makes you feel good. All is right in your eyes. Don't let anyone say any different, and sin will reign. And that's where it was in this day, as in for Moses. Even so, those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who was the pattern. Adam was the pattern, the one to come. What do you mean? He was made in the image of God. That's why he was the pattern. Okay? Now here we go into our kingdom. But the gift is not like the trespass. This is a gift. You're not just born into this one. You've got to receive the gift. You've got to be willing to receive the gift of God, His gift of grace and His gift of righteousness. He will awaken you, and He will offer you a gift, and you can tell Him to take a hike. You can say, I will not believe. I've had several men in my life tell me, I would rather go to hell than serve Christ one day. And they did. They went to hell. I watched both of them die and go into that horrible place. Whatever it is not a joke. It is not a swear word. It is a place of eternity where sin will dwell in total darkness. But I look in these words, and but the gift is not like the trespass, for in, if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, how much more? Listen to these words. This is like an overflow. And what has happened to Christianity in America where there's no overflow? There doesn't seem to, the overflow of joy, it's uncontained. I can't contain this anymore. It's how much more? My cup keeps overflowing. There's something wrong with me. I'm filled with way too much joy. I'm way too animated. I'm too happy. I can't contain it anymore. Oh, when he gets older, he'll calm down. Oh, God, please not. No, please, no. If I live to be an old man, if I told my wife, if I ever live to be an old man, I'm still not there yet. In fact, I told my wife, I said, are we old enough to be in traditions? I mean, you got to be 55 to live in that place. And you know, when I live there now, and I'm telling you what, there's a lot of old people in there. I told my wife, we don't look like them, do we? No, not at all. Yeah, okay. That's probably why I wear glasses, okay. How much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, listen to these words, how much more? Overflow. You've got to grab onto this. God isn't calling you to a gift that's some sorry little dabble, do you? Okay, accept Christ and now come to church and work your rear ends off. No. How much more? How much more did this gift? How much more did it overflow to the many? Again, the gift of God. Again, I want to tell you the gift of God is not like the result of the one man's sin. The judgment followed the sin. Death brought condemnation. What do you mean? The judgment came. Everything was condemned. Everything was condemned. There wasn't a moment that there wasn't condemned. The creation itself right now, the Word of God says the creation is groaning, waiting for the redemption of the sons of God. It's not everybody. It's not waiting for the redemption of the sons and the daughters of the Most High. I want you to know that if you live in a sarcastic, griping attitude, you already know the kingdom that dwells within you. And it is a sorry kingdom. It's a horrible kingdom. It's an aching place. There's no joy in this kingdom. You wait to find an external something so you can stop condemning yourself and others. Receive the gift of the kingdom of God. This is the beauty. Listen to these words. Again, the gift of God is not like the result of the one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man, Adam, death reigned through that one man, how much more? How much more will those who receive the, listen to the word, how much more will those who receive the abundant provision of grace? Listen to these words. This isn't hype and jive. The abundant provision of His grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. The same word, death reigned. It's a royal word for the sovereignty of a king. Same word is used for a man or a woman who has received the abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness. They reign in life. What do you mean? Life isn't controlling them. They control the life. Their emotions are established in the grace and righteousness of God. That's why the Apostle Paul in the strange story could be beaten and mistreated, be in a prison, and turned to Silas, and they said, let's sing to the Lord. No matter what's happened to me, it cannot stop my joy in the Lord. There's no one like the Lord. It's not about your life and all these little details. So the Apostle Paul's design to confirm that we are justified. We are now justified, freely forgiven of all sin, now and forever. And we are removed from the power of our sin nature. The sin nature is here, but I've been removed from its power. What do you mean? I don't any longer live in that place all the time, and nor do I receive its condemnation. I cannot receive its condemnation. Why? My sins have been forgiven in Christ Jesus, my Lord. I cannot receive your condemnation, sin. I cannot receive the condemnation from death. I cannot, because I am in Christ and Christ is in me. That's the kingdom. So, but the gift is not like the trespass. The fall of Adam and his descendants is not like the restoration. What is called the gift, I already shared with you, you've got the gift of righteousness. Righteousness is absolute freedom from the domination of death and condemnation. What do you mean? God made him, Christ, who knew no sin, to become sin. To become sin. Why? So that we would become the righteousness of God. That didn't sound like a religion. I didn't need a religion in my life when I came out of the Marine Corps. I needed a life. I wasn't looking for a self-improvement program. If I wanted a self-improvement program, I'd have gone back into the Marine Corps. Because I promise you, they will improve you. You will learn language. You will learn motivation and disciplines like you can't imagine. Okay? The effects of Adam's disobedience are temporary. They're temporary. In light of eternity, the fruit of sin is but a moment. It's just here for a moment. There is coming a time. One day, for those who are in Christ and understand what I'm saying, they will shout. There's not going to be anybody going quietly. Oh, wow, look at this. There's a new kingdom here. It's going to be loud. I hope you're going to have to get used to it. The kingdom of our world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ, and He will reign forever and ever. Revelation 11:15. Sin and death and those who are in that kingdom will be in their place. They will continue without increase. Those in this condition will exist in something that is called outer darkness, full of hostility. I don't know what it is, but it's ultimate darkness, and it's full of hostility, and they're in it, and they can't come out of it. It's despair beyond your imagination. C.S. Lewis suggests that they are a sterile crowd. They are clouds without rain, blown along by the wind. Autumn trees without fruit, uprooted, twice dead. They are like wild waves of the sea, foaming up their shame, wandering stars, for whom the blackest darkness has been reserved forever. Yola bole. But those in the kingdom of Jesus the Christ, Isaiah rightly declares, behold, I will create a new heaven and a new earth. And I want to tell you, the Lord says this, the former things will not be remembered, nor will they ever come to your mind again. There's a kingdom, and it's meant to be lived right here. We're just singing, bring your kingdom, thy kingdom come, thy will be. Well, the kingdom's here. It's in me. I received it. I took him at his word. And he started molding it in me and building it in me. And I would be asking things like, what does it mean to love your wife as Christ loved the church? Because I have no idea what that means. Zero. I was a young man. I had no idea what that means. I mean, when I fell in love with my wife, I'm sure it was just pure lust. Good grief, I was 22 years old. I was out of the Marine Corps. Whatever I thought love was, it wasn't. I learned over time what that was. I learned God. He's molded me and took a stinking attitude and reshaped it. To those in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, Isaiah says those beautiful words. And then he goes, how much more is the gift that surpasses the sin? Death came to Adam and to his descendants, and it still come. It reigned as king. It is only sovereign. No one can conquer death. No one. That's what they thought. They didn't know about this kingdom. The adversary literally thought his power is so great, his darkness is so bad, it's so filthy, that he creates a sovereign that is so absolute that if they could get God in a body, they could even hold God. They could take God in a human form, because human beings, death can take a human being. And if God ever got so ridiculous as to take on a human form,
we would go and take death and nail him to a cross. And then we would drag him to hell. That's what we're talking about. That's the sovereign of death. Now watch what happens. How much more? Death came to Adam, okay, and all this, but Christ breaks the power of sins and sets the prisoner free. For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and my sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Oh, please stop. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. Jesus Christ destroyed death. It was overwhelming. He destroyed it. There's a story in the book of Judges, one of my favorite books. And sometimes you read about Samson and you think, you know, he was one of the judges. It just didn't seem like he was all that good to me. I mean, he's a pretty tacky dude, you know. But he was a judge. He was. And the Philistines were always beating up on Israel. They were just always winning, and that's because they didn't finish the job to start with. They're supposed, and anyway, it doesn't matter, but that's typical with us. We don't, you know, we just want to dabble with our sin. I don't know what it is. But Samson stayed in bed until midnight. And the Philistines had shut the gates. They'd got him in the city and they shut the gates. And they thought, now the gates are shut. We've trapped Samson. We've trapped him. He can't get out now. Now we can get a hold of him because we've now shut the city gates. We'll go after him and we got him. But Samson stayed in bed only until midnight. Then he got up and he took hold of the doors of the town gate, including the two posts, and lifted them up, bar and all. He put them on his shoulders and carried the city gate far away to the top of a hill across Hebron. And he planted the gate on the top of a mountain. You have to admit that would have been a fun day. I mean, we're going to hold you down. Wow. Jesus the Christ entered the city of sinful humanity. And when the enemy sought to confine him for 3 days in the gates of death, he arose and carried the gate away. That is the kingdom. There's only two. One is just filled with delight in the midst of a place that's so broken. Our world is so broken and so dying. And yet in the midst of that, you're able to cause joy to people. They look at you, who are you? Where are you from? Well, I'm from here, but something happened to me, and it's so radical that my parents thought I was born again. Because I was. Isn't that nice? They actually thought I was born again. Are you been born again? Yes, I have. Who did that to you? Jesus the Christ. See, there's something happens. If you knew how lost you were, and now that you received a gift to those, how much more overwhelming, abundant, who receive God's provision of grace and the gift of righteousness. Wow. The effect of Adam's sin cannot gain victory over those who are in Christ Jesus. Where, O death, is your victory? Where's your victory now, death? You thought you could take me somewhere? You can't take me diddly squat anywhere. God is going to use you to bring me to Him. Because I promise you, I'm going to leave this tent one day. One of these days I will take my last breath, as many of my friends have already. Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death? The sting of death is sin. Well, that sting isn't in me because of Christ. I received a gift. All I did is receive. I took God at His word and said, okay, I want you. I want you. I'm not looking for heaven. I'm not looking for something. I want you. I want you and you alone. I want your kingdom to come. Your will be done in me on this day as your will is done in heaven. I want your righteousness, your peace, and your joy. I want your Holy Spirit to have His way. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The victory that is brought in Christ is much more exceeds that of what was in Adam. So again, the gift is not like the result of the one man's sin. Christ has done far more. 1 Corinthians 15, the scriptures tell us the first man, Adam, became a living person. But the last Adam, that is Christ, is a life-giving spirit. Adam, the first man, was made from the dust of the earth, while Christ, the second
Adam, the second man, came from heaven. Just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, listen to these words, just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, these bodies do, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life. Listen to the words. Just in Adam, all die, and we do. Listen to this. Everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life. What kingdom are you in? Who are you? For Christ must reign until he humbles his enemy beneath his feet, and the last enemy that he will destroy is death himself. Wow. Phillips' translation of verse 17, I like this. You remember the J.B. Phillips translation? Some of you may, maybe you're old enough to remember that. For if one man's offense meant that men should be slaves to death all their lives, it is far greater thing that through another man, Jesus Christ, men, by their acceptance of his more than sufficient grace and righteousness, should live their lives victoriously. Who in the world wants to live their life like a sorry lemon? God gave you a life to live victoriously. What's the victory? The joy of the Lord is my strength. Encouragement becomes what you are, not what you're trying to do. In Christ, roles are reversed. Sin is no longer master. God's grace in Jesus Christ restores a free will, that I might finally be free with joy, not, God, I watch so many Christians, I think, you know, I used to tell them, I do a lot of men's things. Somehow I do a lot of men's things. My whole life has been this way. I think it must be the sound of my voice or something. I don't know what it is, because my voice to me is just my voice. But one lady, I was at a wine tasting thing over at the RV park with Gary Del Giorgio, and all of a sudden this lady comes by, she goes, I know who you are. And I look at her, cool. What are you supposed to say? I don't recognize. Cool. She says, I recognize the sound of your voice. Did you know that you have a commanding voice? I said, well, cool. And I found out I had known her from a wine tasting place before. Of course it's wine tasting. That's because I'm married to Karen. And Karen remembered it right away. Okay. And I look at this, but the reason I'm telling you this, and I go to men all the time, and I say, listen, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Is the joy of the Lord your strength? Is the joy of the Lord your strength? And they, amen. Then notify your face. I mean, men and women, when you walk in, be what you are. What are you? The joy of the Lord. What are you? I have received an abundant provision of grace. I received an abundant provision, an overwhelming gift of righteousness. How could I not walk in the power of the Almighty? How could I not give praise and glory to His name? Oh, we got to end this thing. It's communion time. Let me do this. I want to ask a question. Where are you? Where are you? What kingdom do you want to live in? What kingdom do you want to reign in your life? The Holy Spirit said to the Apostle Paul, examine yourself, test yourself. Don't you recognize this about yourself, that Jesus is in you, unless you fail the test. Don't fail this test. Know Jesus Christ. I beg you to come to that life that is so real, so overwhelming. Never be afraid again. Never have fear reign in your life. Never be ashamed and guilty to know a life that is so full. The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in this way, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, is pleasing to God and approved of by men. In other words, people like you. They love being around you because you're a man and a woman of integrity. You keep your word. You would keep your word to your own hurt. No matter what it is, you're going to keep it. Why? It's because it's what you are, not what you're trying to do. It's what you've become. That's what righteousness is. All of a sudden, the reason you don't feel condemnation is because all of a sudden now you do have an enemy. And like I tell the band of brothers, years ago when I was a young man and I was looking into Luke and it said, love your enemies.
Love your enemies. And I said, I understand that. Now, all I thought of, truthfully, the first time I read that, I thought of Viet Cong and the NVA, North Vietnamese Army. And I said, well, I didn't really love them. I actually caused damage. And I'm thinking, love your enemies. So I said to the Lord, I don't have any enemies. I don't have any enemies to love. And he said, well, let me send you some. And he did. And the weirdest thing is they were in the church. It was the weirdest thing I'd ever seen. Living in the kingdom of God's grace will give us an understanding of what the Holy Spirit said about death. Where's your victory and where's your sting? Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen? So you have to ask, whose kingdom are you in? Everyone around you should know who it is. We're going to have this is our communion time now. And Scott, where are you at? Oh, man of God, one of our elders here. This is Scott Peterson. We're going to have our communion time. And I wanted to remind you, even in communion time, it's an amazing thing. The Scripture says, examine yourself before you take communion. Because